We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Hello and welcome to the 22nd edition of the Put Them Under Pressure podcast. My name is Kieran and I'm joined once again by Adrian and Connor. We will begin today by discussing Jurgen Klopp's comments post-game on the 3-0 victory against Leicester, where he was quite agitated, quite angry about, I guess, the injuries his team have suffered, and he was pinning the blame on not being able to make 5 substitutes like teams could post-lockdown last season. Just wanted to put the question out to you guys to get your thoughts on it, whether you agree on the rule itself or whether you agree as well if Klopp's comments are correct, whether it is unfair because of what's going on in the world right now.
Well, I think 5 substitutes obviously favours bigger teams. So you have lads like Klopp from big teams who have stronger benches than other teams whining about getting 5 subs because it would be a big advantage for them. But they also have players who play internationals more. So they come back knackered and they have to play teams like even this weekend, Arsenal playing Leeds. Leeds had like no one off on internationals. And then Arsenal come back, but half the team was playing internationals and they come in and have to play Leeds who go full force for 90 minutes, hard running. And they all end up getting battered. I think if it was just for one season, considering the whole COVID thing, if it was just for the season, I could tolerate it. But if it ever was made permanent, I'd be sickened because it would just be one more advantage for bigger teams over smaller teams.
Yeah, I do agree. You know, like you said, Leeds are a very good example that they're only going to play, I say only, they're going to play one game a week pretty much for the rest of the season. Whereas the top 6 or whatever teams are going to play nearly 2 games a week if they've got Europa League and Champions League and all those other cups. So I think I do wonder then, because people are pointing out that they haven't made 5 subs. They haven't made even 3 subs in a lot of games. But I think if they were available, they'd manage it differently. I mean, and like Flynn was saying, players going away on international duty, I was just looking there. I think there's 5 Liverpool players after coming back from international unavailable because of COVID and injuries. I mean, that's half a fucking team. Like, so I don't know if it'll go through. I do think it's just the big clubs making more noise about it. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, like, is it going to be much good to Burnley, who barely have about 15 players anyway? But then, like, they could be the worst hit with it, because if their players start breaking down in December or January and they don't have enough to put out a full squad, you know, they could be crying about it then.
Is it not a bit of a cop-out to Klopp's man management? Like, this isn't a surprise. This schedule was known in the off-season. People knew that there would be international breaks. People knew mm-hmm. that COVID was still going. Why is he not rotating more? Now, I understand that that's not the same for all teams, but Liverpool, of all teams, you've shown players can step in that aren't first team, that aren't even backups that are playing now. Why were they not playing in the build-up to, you know, games to the international break?
Well, like who? Like Phillips and stuff?
Yeah, they played all right yesterday. I mean, didn't faze you at all. You hammered Leicester.
Yeah, but that was, I mean, that was about the fullest strength team they have at the minute. Like, that's not playing, like, they have 2 young lads, Phillips and Williams, and they weren't playing. And, like, I think the plan will be, once they're qualified for the Champions League, I think if they win on Wednesday, they'll be pretty much qualified, and then they can just play those lads. So then it probably will be a stroke of genius man managing. But, like, you can't bank on all of your centre-backs getting injured, and you can't bank on Mo Salah going to his brother's wedding and getting COVID. And, you know, the injuries to Thiago and Van Dijk, which were totally avoidable. You can't, You can't manage for that.
You can manage Salah not going to a fucking wedding with no masks or social distancing.
I suppose what I meant was, I'd imagine he wasn't given the go-ahead for that. I can't imagine they would have told him that that's okay.
Yeah, so.
For sure. I was surprised as well that there wasn't more like public shaming.
That pissed me off, to be honest, when I saw that.
Yeah, because like, it seems like he got away with it, right?
Oh yeah, and like from a personal point of view, like we're the three of us are just stuck in our houses 24/7. I'd love to go and have a big rave somewhere and get hammered in Egypt, but like we can't do that. And he's obviously been given the clearance to go and play for his country, and then like you said, he's gonna get off scot free because he'll be welcomed back. Like, oh yes, Mo Salah's back now. He's gonna score all the goals. Like, if we had lost to Leicester, would there have been any backlash? I wonder. You know,
fair point. It's a fair point. I think as well, the other side of it is too, is that like he's getting away with it scot-free. There isn't really this backlash for it. And Liverpool's one of the worst affected areas in the UK for it. I just thought there'd be more uproar, but I think the general consensus is going towards not really giving a shit about the coronavirus anymore, which is worrying. And furthermore to that, Boris Johnson in the UK announced fans returning to grounds from December. Mm-hmm. So did you guys see that? The three-tiered system? Fans going back in different increments, but how do you think that will impact games? Do you think we'll start seeing more like regular results?
Well, how many people are allowed back?
I think at most it's 4,000 for like tier one. Tier two is 2,000. Tier three is behind closed doors.
I don't see a few thousand fans in the Premier League making much of a difference to what it is now. Especially if you're in a stadium like Old Trafford, which is like, what, 75,000 capacity?
Yeah.
And they don't, you'd have 1,000 people or whatever it is spread around the stadium. It'd be just awkward. I don't think it would make much difference to atmosphere or anything. There might be a few more oohs and boos, but, you know, nothing significant, I would not think.
I wonder, will they still do the fake crowd noise, or will they just leave it sounding really hollow? Like, I think it would sound worse with, like, a nearly empty stadium. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it would sound more like watching golf.
Yeah, it's like, you know when you're watching, like, Ireland play Cyprus away or something, and Ireland score, and you don't really hear anything happen? And you're like, oh, was that disallowed or something? I think it'll be like that. Because you're talking about like 1,000 people trying to fill a massive stadium. Like you said, like a 60,000 person stadium. I think it might sound weird. They'll probably just stick with the fake crowd noise.
I choose not to have fake crowd noise whenever I can. Now I stream. But like,
I've warmed to it. I think there's a certain suspense to it.
What?
Really?
like when they hit the side netting and it goes, ay! I love that.
You like when they get it wrong, like,
yeah. Okay. Or when like James Milner puts in like full blooded tackle and your man just goes fucking ham on the button. Like, oh.
Love it. Like FIFA.
Yeah. Oh, I don't listen to the commentary on FIFA anymore. I don't even know who the commentators are. I know they're different, but
they changed them. Yeah, it's not the good lads.
Martin Tyler.
No, he's gone.
No, it was like Alan Smith and someone else. Is it Clive Tildesley?
Nobody's anyway. I know the name.
No, they used to have Alan Smith. You know, because I would just play Arsenal games a lot, so. Alan Smith had like 10,000 lines of dialogue for Arsenal games.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know who it is anymore. Andy Townsend, probably.
Oh, Andy. Andy's like Champions League memories here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's... Cleveland stadiums.
Yeah, No, that's pretty much the end of the segment.
Good night. God bless.
See you next time, folks. with the football this weekend, then, was there any standout games? I mean, I could talk for hours about Palace and how piss poor that was, but was there anything that stood out to you guys as
Palace losing?
Palace losing. Yes, they did.
Yeah, I mean, I watched that and I really was worried in case you'd ask me anything about it because it was such a nothing game.
Really was nothing game, yeah. We're so hit and miss. We're so consistently inconsistent. Like we mm-hmm. spanked Leeds 4-1 last week or before the international break. We go away to Burnley and yeah, we're out without Zaha, but like getting absolutely dominated by Burnley who haven't won a game. And yet again...
They're the worst team in the league, yeah.
Yeah, yet again, if you need a win, if your striker hasn't scored in 5 games, if it's some sort of record that needs to be broken, if you want to score the goal of the month, it's like play Palace because you'll get them. It's so annoying.
You're like a reverse Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes.
The Harlem stay-at-homers.
I mean, the only positive I take from it is that I'd be pretty confident Palace will finish higher than Burnley, if yeah. that's any help to you.
Yeah. Yeah, Christian Benteke needs to get in the fucking bin. You see that touch, like when he was through on goal? Awful. Yeah.
He's a bad football player.
He is.
He's really bad. But your man, I keep calling him Easy, but it's not Easy, is it? It's Eze.
Eze.
Easy does it.
DJ Ella.
I mean, he's pretty good, you know?
Yeah, he's nifty. Yeah, you know that. The sad reality of it is that you kind of just know he was purchased to be like a future funding for something else. Like, we won't keep him for too long. He's a great player, but he's way above the Palace pay grade, you know? He's going to go on to big things. He's a class above.
He's a guest on Ramirez.
Do you remember back recording Techers Weekly?
I do.
When he was like the amazing... signing for Southampton from, where is it, Genoa?
Bologna, I think.
Bologna, Jesus Christ, yeah. And just look at him now.
Fucking just look at him after 6 months in the league.
Yeah.
He was finished in.
Washed.
And that was only like 13 million or something.
Yeah.
And we just lost our minds that this guy would join Southampton.
It was a big deal at the time.
At the time, yeah. That was that was when I kind of realized that Premier League money was just on a completely different level. The way these teams for the past 10 years have been buying players, like West Ham buying like Haller for like 40 million, and these lads, and you never hear them again. Hardly. I know Haller actually scored this weekend. Probably a bad example, but
it's a good point when you raise like West Ham transfers. It doesn't matter how good they are. Joining West Ham. West Ham will overpay and they will go to shit. How many players can you name over the last 3-4 seasons that West Ham have bought that are rubbish?
It's incredible, really. Like,
yeah.
And they bought players who seemed good at the time.
Yeah.
Like Felipe Anderson and Yarmolenko and...
Lanzini?
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Like, really good quality players, but
obviously... Ogbonna, fucking Syria, started Invincible, like, with Juventus, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was one of the Invincibles with Juventus.
Mm-hmm. And, like, throwing money at them, and in theory, it should work, but it just never does for West Ham, and it's pretty sweet. And then they got, like, that Benrahma from Brentford, who Palace were linked to. Again, overpaid to get him, and he gets the coronavirus. It's just... brilliant.
West Ham are in just another dimension of mediocrity.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that they have that massive stadium too.
Yeah.
Nothing but whingy fans in it and disappointing home draws.
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand is the epitome of a West Ham fan.
And who else? Oh, I was going to say David Cameron. Is David Cameron a West Ham fan?
He might be.
Oh no, I think what I'm thinking of is Prince William, yeah, he was changed whatever team he supported. He couldn't keep track of which team he supported, cause, so he would just name these teams that all played in similar colours, like West Ham and Villa. Anyone in like claret, that kind of strip, he said, "Oh yeah, they're my team."
Speaking of, you know, celebrity fans, who would you say is Arsenal and Liverpool's celebrity fans?
I don't even want to talk about Arsenal celebrity fans, because you've got like Piers Morgan, Osama bin Laden.
What?
Yeah, bin Laden was a gunner. He's a big Arsenal fan. Well, I can imagine him sitting in the fucking the cave in Pakistan, watching Arsenal, watching Van Persie getting sent off against Barcelona, just fuming.
That's brilliant.
He'll be on Arsenal Fan TV.
It's all connected.
Exclusive bin Laden interview. He probably had like a scarf, a half and half scarf. Yeah. Like half Arsenal and half ISIS. Half Al-Qaeda. And like, I'm more ashamed. I'm more ashamed of Piers Morgan than Bin Laden. Like,
I just can't stop thinking of him, like, chanting gunner songs in a cave. Like,
when you gunners, AK-47s in the background,
Henri on the back. Oh, that's a good
finger one. Has got to go, fam.
I don't think I can beat that. I think Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh yeah, and LeBron James, no?
LeBron James, yeah. But Samuel L. Jackson is more famous than LeBron James, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
LeBron James is like a part owner, though. So
yeah, that's just true.
I'm googling famous Liverpool fans here. There's a list of them on IMDb. The most famous Liverpool fan in the world is Millie Bobby Brown. The girl from Stranger Things. Apparently, it says Brad Pitt is a Liverpool fan. Daniel Craig, Samuel L. Jackson,
Seamus, the wrestler.
Seamus,
big Liverpool fan.
Angelina Jolie. She says she has a fondness for Liverpool. Angelina Jolie.
Okay.
She has a fondness for Liverpool because her son Maddox only wants to play for Liverpool.
All right. Good luck to him.
Hang on, let me see what age Maddox is. Maddox
42 or something.
Yeah, he's 19.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's going to happen now, Maddox.
No.
Give it up, mate.
Ricky Tomlinson, the dad from the royal family.
Okay.
Del Rey. Fucking hell. Do you know who Lana Del Rey is?
Yeah.
Not really.
Oh, see, like I was talking to someone about this a while ago, saying I don't know why I was bringing her up, but I was like, I couldn't remember her name, and I was saying all her songs to someone to get him to know who I was talking about. Like, what other? Anyway, it doesn't matter. I ended up just saying the one with the lips, and she was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, that's her." I think she looks fucking bizarre.
I don't know any of these people anymore. If you said the one with the lips to me now, I think of Nicki Minaj. So I'm really? Probably about 5 or 6 years behind the actual world. Like. It always happens to me. Sonia will be like, "Oh, you know that? You know the one that sings that Ariana Grande or something." And I'll be like, "Yeah, what song does she sing?" And she'll like hum the song, and I'll be like, "No, I'm not." And then she'll play it for me on YouTube, and I'll have never heard the song in my life. I don't listen to the radio much. So.
I don't listen to the radio. Like I have my phone in my car. I'd say I've listened to the radio maybe 3 times in the past 10 years, like voluntarily.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing of the past. Yeah, it's all podcasts.
But to be fair, like, Adrian, you're talking about, like, not knowing singers on the radio, but, like, you didn't know who Karl Marx was. So, like, fucking Sonia probably having to play his hits for you as well.
It's like I said, unless I'm given the information, I'm not going to fucking know it, okay?
So, you're not going to seek out knowledge?
No, certainly not. I have enough knowledge.
Does that mean that Nicki Minaj is more famous than Karl Marx and has had more of a cultural impact?
Yeah, it would seem so.
Well, more famous, yes. I'll say that much. If you ask 100 people on the street who Karl Marx is versus 100 people on the street who Nicki Minaj is, I reckon more people will recognize at least the name Nicki Minaj.
Ooh, that's a good question now. 100 people in the street.
It depends where and who. Like the age groups and stuff. Like if you did it around a college or something. I don't know.
Anyone under 30. Well, I don't know, because a lot of young people would know who Karl Marx is, I think.
There's only one way to find out.
I have not. Well, there is only one way to find out, but we're not going to do it.
Yes, we are.
In these COVID times, there's no way to do it.
Well, apparently next week we can do it, so.
True.
Like, your parents probably wouldn't have a clue who Nicki Minaj is.
They'd know the name, though.
Would they?
I'd say so. I don't know. I don't know how hip my parents are anymore.
I'd say, like, the last famous celebrity my parents learned the name of would be, like, Tommy Lee Jones.
I don't know about that. I think you need to give them more credit. I mean, they have a TV, like, you know. They at least know who Simon Cowell is.
They probably know who he is. I don't think any of us have ever watched a Simon Cowell show, though, in this house.
That's a mistake.
I'm just looking at a list of famous Arsenal fans. Fidel Castro is a gunner. Was a gunner before he died.
Fidel Castro. Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, like, God.
He saved it. He saved it. It's okay. It was borderline.
I won't.
Jesus.
He's the lad that's on the Penny's t-shirts, isn't he?
I was thinking Che Guevara. I was like, is he something to do with Che Guevara? Fidel Castro.
He was, actually. Yeah.
He's a dictator. No.
Close enough, yeah. All right. Okay. Fine. We'll accept that.
It's a half hour.
Thunderous applause sound.
Do you know who Che Guevara was?
He was the revolutionary in, I want to say Chile, but it might be Argentina.
Oh, yeah, sure. He was all over the shop.
Was he?
Yeah.
But he was kind of a good guy turned bad guy, wasn't he? One of those.
Depends who you ask.
Yeah.
Michael Collins.
Well, he was a good guy, turned bad guy, turned good guy, turned bad guy.
Depends who you ask.
Yeah.
It does, yeah. But if you asked anyone in Cork, Michael Collins was, you know, a good guy.
True.
Except for the fact it was Cork people who killed him.
Yeah. Yeah, but we don't talk about that point, do we?
Have you ever been to Michael Collins's, the ambush site there in
Yeah.
It's funny how Clan really like clings to Michael Collins.
Oh yeah. Like museum.
I don't know, Kieran, if you knew that there's a museum now on Emmett Square of like his house because he lived there for a bit.
Oh yeah.
So they just turned the whole house into a museum. If I went on holidays to Clanagility, the last thing I'd ever want to go see is a house that Michael Collins lived in.
But you'd be surprised. The Yanks love it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, people go to see anything when they're on holidays.
Yeah.
Like, after like 3 days staying somewhere, they're just like, what do we do today? Look in the guidebook there.
Yeah. I must say I've been a sucker for that on holidays when we've gone to a place after a couple of days and just Googled it. And it's like, top result is this place. And you go there and it's just fucking rubbish. But it must be what it's famous for.
Oh, when I was in fucking Netherlands, we just looked up places to go or sites to see. And one of the places, we weren't even in Amsterdam. We were in like The Hague or Den Haag.
Yeah.
And we were looking up places to go. And one of them was like an M.C. Escher museum. He was like an artist who did, if you ever saw the picture, it's like stairways that all look like they're going into each other, like illusion. And we were like, oh, we'll go to see that. That might be pretty interesting. And we got there and like, I don't know what I was expecting, but I just expected it to be like illusions or whatever stuff like that. It was just like, it was just an ordinary building with like normal stairs. And
you thought it would be like magic.
I thought they'd do something. I thought they'd do like make an attempt. Like, I mean, it's right there for the taking. It would be so, I was going to say it would be so easy. It wouldn't be easy. But give me something. Oh, when we were in fucking Hamburg, me and lads, we went to like a fairground and they had like a house of horrors or something, like an illusion house. And we went in and it was just, it was like mirrors, but not even a hall of mirrors. It was just like normal mirrors on the walls. And like, you were supposed to just look at yourself. And that was like the house of horrors. And they had like the picture, you've probably seen these pictures of like where it's an old woman. And then it's, if you look at it in a certain way, it looks like a man or something, or a boot. It was like stuff like that. And they had like skeletons and it was supposed to be terrifying. It was the biggest pile of shite I'd ever seen in my life. If Dave's listening to this, he'd remember that. But it was enjoyable. It was enjoyable for how shite it was.
And because you were with Dave, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, we're doing all we can. Dave. Doing all we can to bring Dave back, you know, on site. You know? Because we've knocked him about a bit.
We've been harsh on Dave.
Poor old Dave.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, no.
We're trying to provoke him to come back, like when Shawn Michaels was trying to provoke The Undertaker to accept his rematch at WrestleMania. When he cost him the title at the Elimination Chamber. Mm-hmm. And he tried to win the Royal Rumble, but he lost that. Let's move on.
So we have to get Dave on the podcast so that we can switch and music him again.
Be running up that hill.
Do you guys want to hear about Ibrahimovic?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is a tweet, supposedly, that he's after putting out. It's not too long, but I'll read it out. I like his shock, his surprise. So Ibrahimovic says, "Who gave FIFA EA Sport permission to use my name and face? At FIFA Pro? I'm not aware to be a member of FIFA Pro, and if I am, I was put there without any real knowledge through some weird maneuver, and for sure, I never allowed FIFA.com or FIFA Pro to make money using me." So Zlatan Ibrahimovic has just found out that he's been in every FIFA game for the last fucking 20 years, and he's spitting feathers.
Hmm.
Was he not on a cover recently?
This guy's 40 years old, and he's there's a little bit more. I think there's extra, and it's like, it's time to investigate these people making money off me. Like, man, you fucking knew this. Like, there was no way in hell you didn't know that. And he's just causing a stir now.
He said, I thought you said, man, you knew this.
No.
I was like, what do they have to do with
it? Man, comma, you knew this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, there are a lot of people... in different sports, like in UFC, there was people complaining about having to sign over their likeness or whatever, their image rights to using like a video game. And some guy wouldn't release his images or whatever, the right to use him. And he was released from UFC. Because they were like, yeah.
I mean, I did read that David Beckham is going to get like $40 million for featuring in the new FIFA. So I kind of get, like, why is he getting $40 million and the rest of them are getting diddly squat?
Yeah. I always think the figures around David Beckham are inflated. Like, $40 million. That was like when he went to LA Galaxy and they were saying the transfer will be worth up to $250 million. I was like,
It's a bit like Fulham's transfer budget that cut a couple seasons ago. Where every time it was reported, it's like, Fulham have spent $420 million this transfer window, and they're still bottom half. It was, you just don't know where they get the figures from. Every time it was quoted, it was more money.
Yeah.
Well, would I be right in assuming that, like, the team has a contract with FIFA or a contract with Pro Evo or whatever. So because he's contracted to that team, you know, the team says that they can use their players' rights and images and all that kind of stuff. So he probably hasn't any point to make whatsoever.
No, I'd imagine, like, with the example you gave there, Flynn, with the UFC fighter, that's an individual, right? I know he's part of the UFC and obviously he got slung out because of the image,
yeah.
But surely if you work for AC Milan and they sell the rights to the AC Milan brand, he's part of it, right? He's I part of that so. Brand, yeah.
I'd have thought so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but then there's like interesting little ones, like we obviously know the old school PES team names and player names,
yeah.
And on Football Manager now, Juventus are Zebra.
Piedmont. Oh, no, right, yeah, Zebra.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Italian. It was Piedmont Calcio.
I don't know. It could. I mean,
there's something else on FIFA as well, Juventus, for some reason.
Is it? Is that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about FIFA. Sorry, not Football Manager. Yeah, FIFA.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, they've obviously not agreed as a club to have their image being used,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty shit. But the players are still part of the game. Like, Cristiano Ronaldo is still on the game.
Yeah. I don't really know.
I don't know. I just feel like he should have known by now that he was on this game called FIFA, you know?
Yeah, he's probably just looking for attention like usual.
So he's washed. Yeah, he's completely washed.
He is washed, yeah.
He's been washed a few times and come back.
He's played for every club
in existence. He's thoroughly washed now, but he's just getting blow-dried and he'll be ready to go again.
What was the other point you had, Andy? You said there was another thing we had to discuss.
Stephen
Kenny fiasco.
Yeah. So
I know
for people that don't know, like, would you give some background into it?
Okay. Well, Stephen Kenny, he hasn't been doing particularly well as Ireland boss anyway. But before they played England last week, I think, supposedly he showed an anti-British video montage to the players. That can be worded better. But yeah, basically like anti-England montage to the players. And supposedly it was just to hype them up. There was a lot of like old famous goals that Ireland scored against England, but that it did contain about 30 seconds of not football related content, I guess is how you'd word it.
Nice
to try and jizz the players up, but but they lost 3-0. So he was under a bit of pressure anyway because we haven't scored in 8 games. But then this all came out. I think it's been swept under the carpet. But what the fuck was he playing at? When you consider that a lot of those players that play for Ireland are born in England. I mean,
yeah, that must have been awkward. Also, how could you sweep something under a carpet? You'd sweep under a rug. You have to rip up the staples to sweep under the carpet.
This is what Hanny does in his own home is up to him.
Is that not the phrase? It's been swept under the carpet?
Swept under the rug, I'd say. Hang on, let me Google what if a carpet is significantly different from a rug.
Yeah,
I'm famously bad at getting my phrases right, so you might be correct. I do know what you mean. A carpet covers the whole floor, doesn't it?
It does. Well, it should do. Or else it's a rug.
Jesus. Is there a difference between a rug and a carpet? Okay, technically speaking, carpets are floor coverings that are installed and which can span wall to wall, whereas rugs are generally movable. By this definition, rugs should be considered a subset of carpets.
Bingo. So, yeah. Rebel rousing videos by Stephen Kenny. It is a bit silly, yeah. I mean, when the full Ireland team sing the national anthem before the game, then that might have an effect. But I don't think Callum Robinson gives a toss about 1916.
No, I mean, That's just, I thought it was very cringe when I saw it. I'm surprised he's gotten away with it, actually, because
he might not.
I thought I read there that it's, the case is closed, the investigation is over, and they're
all right,
satisfied with his explanation.
He probably just showed them a video to get them all roused up.
It's hard to know then, like, you know, maybe it wasn't as bad as it's being made out, but
no, the Scottish team used to watch Braveheart before games.
Yeah.
Like, before, like, playing fucking San Marino or something. Freedom!
It would work, though, wouldn't it? Whereas, I think the idea could work, like, showing, you know, an epic montage with some class music in the background. But if you're standing next to, like, is Dave McGoldrick, I think, is he English?
Yeah, I think so.
You're gonna feel a bit fucking like, oh,
it's awkward.
You're,
yeah,
you're right, no,
some people, they show the Al Pacino Any Given Sunday speech. Do you know that?
Mm.
I've heard of, like, teams showing that to players before games, but sure, then they just all run out of locker room and pick up the ball and try throwing it down the field.
That's it. Like, I mean, you can be as jazzed up as you want, but if you go out and the lads just start passing the ball around you and you don't get a touch for 10 minutes, that momentum is gone. So it doesn't matter shit then, really.
It's a right old method, though, of kind of like trying to, you know, G people up, isn't it? The modern footballer doesn't do being shouted at. That's why Neil Warnock is tumbling his way down the football leagues, you know?
Yeah.
Shouting grows ever louder. You can hear him falling down the well, like,
put your foot through.
Yeah.
Fool of a duck.
Oh,
a ball rock.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I think he has to turn it around quick. Unfortunately, I don't know if he'll be given the time that we all thought he would.
It's actually not hard to turn around, though. Like, just score a fucking goal. Just one. Yeah.
I'd take that at this point. I'm all for giving managers time, Arteta. But when it's like, give me anything to hang on to, and I'll say, okay, you can see some green shoots. But like, this is, it's not even like they're playing good football. I know people in the chat were saying that I like what I'm seeing from some teams sometimes. I don't really see that at all. I don't see a huge difference between us now and under McCarthy.
I don't know. I kind of see it, but it's probably just the age and the personnel. The results are the same. The outcome is the same.
Mm.
Are we talking about Ireland now or Arsenal?
Depressingly similar. I have nowhere to hide.
I mean, the Ireland thing, I would say it is a change, at least, not seeing them hoof the ball constantly. But part of me would just love a bit of hoof ball now, you know?
Yeah, never did I think I'd want to see Johnny Walters back just smash the ball over the bar 20 times.
But maybe in 2 years' time, when Connolly and Ida are ripping it up, we'll be delighted. But just some of the players like O'Dowda, like, God, I just don't want to see him play for Ireland again. He's just a kind of nothing player. And he's put out on the wing as if he's this, like, creative spark, and I'm yet to see him do anything.
Mm.
You know?
Why don't we, as far as I'm aware, Patrick Bamford has Irish eligibility.
I know.
Why are we not trying to, like, lock him in?
I mean, I think he's probably said he won't. And I mean, he should be getting a call up at some point.
At this point, you think so?
But I think he's like 29 as well, though.
He's not, is he?
He might be 27.
Patrick Bamford.
Get our research team on it pronto. Staff!
He's 27.
Okay. Well,
not far off.
Yeah, he
generally spans floor to floor.
Yeah.
The difference, maybe the difference between a Bamford and a leader.
I don't know. Maybe Bamford doesn't like, you know, rebel songs or something. Maybe he's
That's it. Like, imagine if he was called up And the first thing, you're playing England, and this is what the English have done to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I know. And Bamford is famously like one of the few kind of upper class people. Like, he was born in a kind of a well-to-do family, and he, I think, went to like public school and all that.
Yeah, he's posh.
Yeah.
Didn't know.
Yeah. So, like, he doesn't have much going for him apart from all of that. But you'd think we'd give him an international call-up because he probably is the only Irish person right now, well, small bit Irish, capable of putting the ball in the goal.
Yeah.
We get, like, Tony Cascarino back.
We are shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, like, even... I know we don't like talking about Ireland too much, but look, this is our one fix of the year, and that's it. Like, it was only a few weeks ago, I think, Kieran, I was messaging you going, this Irish team is, like, made up mostly of Premier League players and, like, established Premier League players for the first time since Damien Duff was there and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the last few years, we've been working off Championship fodder and worse and somehow getting better results than this. And I understand it's a younger team, but they're not that fucking young, like. And there's a couple of young lads, but they're only peppered in there. I don't think he's going to have that much time to turn it around.
Which is silly, really. You know,
well, yeah, because, sorry, but as I say that, I have no idea who the next option is. Because this was the plan. This was the ultimate plan, and this was what we were going to do. But now he's kind of fucking himself, really, with this anti-English stuff.
But that's the thing. Yeah, he did. He messed
and
up.
And this no-goal stuff.
Yeah. The shit of football stuff. Yeah, it's not going too well. But it is part of the plan. I mean, it just didn't go according to the plan, you know? Maybe that's the excuse he can hide behind to buy himself some time.
I don't know. Are we trying to change at the very bottom level what Ireland, how Ireland plays football? I mean, fair enough, it's a very painful beginning. Like, it'll take 10, 15 years before we see any progress, really, any huge difference. But, Jesus, this is bad.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of shit football, Flynn, Arsenal, go.
Look,
that was pretty good.
What am I supposed to say other than what I said the last week? I can't even remember what the last result was. Oh yeah, we lost to Villa at home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Getting battered by Leeds. I mean, Leeds battered a lot of teams this season, but still they also lost to a lot of teams. And this kind of result reminds me of Emery against Watford a year and a half ago, when that was the straw that broke the camel's back for me, where I had been kind of on Emery's side, where I had not accepted that Emery was not the right man for the job. And after that Watford game, where Watford were like bottom of the table and they battered Arsenal, and Arsenal got away with a draw, but like, it didn't matter, it was the performance. This almost felt like that to me, where it's like watching this Arsenal team and there is like nothing to be optimistic about right now. Well, some of the defenders are okay. Gabriel, so far this season, is like the only player who I have, like, there's no, and Saka, I guess, but like Gabriel and Saka are like the only two players this season where I have like no criticism of them, really. But apart from that, Jesus, every, well, you know, I'll just go through the whole team, will I? No, it's really, there's not a lot of bright spots in the team, and it's just, it's only so long you can like ignore the stats and ignore the underlying numbers, and they haven't been good under Arteta all along, but he's gotten results despite what the stats say, like, you know, possession, creating chances, shots on target, expected goals themselves, clean sheets. He had good clean sheet record, good defensive record, but now it's sort of like the chicken's coming home to roost and there's no creativity in the team. And that's a team that spent £72 million on this fucking... I'm glad I gave up defending Pepe early, because the guy is just a fucking... He's he's really quite bad. Like every time he has the ball, it's like, oh God. Every time he falls over, trips over, he got sent off straight red this weekend. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, I was actually saying I was a bit disappointed when Liverpool missed out on signing him and he signed him. I thought that was a bit of a miss. But what did you think of the red card?
I mean, it was a soft headbutt, but he still went in with his head. What are you going to do? Headbutted him. It was like the softest headbutt in the world. It was more like going head to head with someone, as if like you want some, but
it was like when Pardew headbutted David Myler. Reminded me of that.
Christ. What a blast from the past.
It was that kind of, but it was that just nudge of a head.
He head nudged him.
Yeah, your man made a meal of it though, but you still can't do it. Ridiculous.
I know.
Yeah, it never holds up in court, does it? I only nudged his head with my head.
Yeah.
That's all I did.
I just decided early to save myself the misery of defending him, because I did that with Ozil for too long, where I was like, you guys just don't see what Ozil does for the team, or Ozil just needs this, or he just needs that, and he'll show why he's world class. I'm like, nah, forget it. I don't want to go down that road with Pepe. Pepe, like, I wouldn't be sad if they sold him or if they got half what they paid for him. So, I mean, whatever. So, not happy with the team. Not happy with the manager right now, even though I still think...
Well, he listened to, like, I guess, fan feedback, right? Because I was pretty happy. I was pretty happy to see the lineup, especially from a fantasy perspective. But, like, to see Aubameyang apparently up top and Willock playing...
Yeah, I know. That's one thing. That's why I'm saying I'm not happy, but he should... I'm not saying he should go or anything. I said he should get time because he's so inexperienced. And I mean, if he does turn around in the season, I mean, the season's nearly a write off already. Like, what were we? We were like 11th or something. Mm. There's like almost no hope of getting Champions League football, considering the way every other top team is performing, like Chelsea, Liverpool, Tottenham. And who else, like Leicester and those lads, and not even as bad as United, and United are pretty bad. So, like, forget getting Champions League, I'd say. Their only hope would be going on a cup run in Europa League, and that could still happen. They actually haven't. They've won every game in the Europa League this season so far. Yeah. Wow, what an achievement. This is what I have to hang on to as an Arsenal fan. We've won every game in the group stages of the Europa League so far.
And when you look at the teams like Mulder, Dundalk,
we've beaten Dundalk at home.
Stephen Kenny's old club.
I know. We'll see. I won't get heartbroken if Arsenal miss out in Champions League, but I feel like if Arteta doesn't win something again this season, he'll probably have to go, because Jesus, the football is unbelievably bad. Like, I don't even know what to say. It's Ireland level.
Yeah, it's the players, though. I mean, they just don't seem to show up. I don't know how much you can blame a manager for.
I know. Some of these players, yeah. I know we're talking about Arteta. I know I'm talking about Arteta. But some of these players definitely, I don't know what to say. They have to be held, hold their feet to the fire as well. Half the team is just... Jesus, like, what are you at? Like, you can't fucking defend, you can't pass, you can't shoot. Once you get within 10 yards of the penalty box, you just go haywire. The fucking shutdown, windows shutdown sound plays. That's it. Anyway, optimistic for the future.
Well, maybe you're just turning into a cup team, and that's not the end of the world. You're becoming Spurs. That's something to look forward to.
Great.
I was actually just going to say, just to compound that misery, Spurs are doing quite well.
Yes.
Spurs look good. I don't think they'll win the league, but they're going to finish higher than Arsenal. Arsenal are 12th now, and City are just below them with a game at hand. So,
City are below Arsenal?
Yeah, by a point, I think.
But well, that's they have a something. Game at hand.
They don't give out trophies for that, though.
Well, maybe Pep will get fired, and then he can join Arsenal.
Yeah. He just
and Arteta can go to City.
Or Arteta can become Pep's assistant again at Arsenal.
Yeah, imagine what he could learn from Pep and his attacking football.
I do think there's a lot more changes to be made in the table. If you look at the table now, it doesn't look settled yet. I mean, you've still got Southampton way too high, Aston Villa, West Ham, Leicester, all well into the top half. So I think it will change.
I know.
I think there's a long way to go, and I think the Christmas period is going to be bonkers for injuries and results and COVID and managers getting fired. But there's a theory that clubs might stick with managers longer because everything's so uncertain. Why would you make it more uncertain? So there's hope for Arteta.
I guess there is hope. I know I sound like a big Arteta hater. I'm still saying give him time, so we'll see. I'm resigned to my fate. I know the season is just a fucking disaster already, but you know, let's see where it goes.
Yeah, we can put that clip on a montage in May when Arsenal were lifting the Premier League trophy, and you would say, look, it was all just it was tough times.
I really play both sides, because when Arteta's doing well, I'm like, the jury is out, lads. I'm not saying Arteta's brilliant. And then when Arteta is doing poorly, I'm like, give him time. So, can't nail me down.
Nope.
Yeah.
That wraps up the 22nd edition of the Put Them Under Pressure podcast. Thanks very much for listening. You can listen to all of our other podcasts, including number 20 and number 21 on YouTube and Spotify. And you can get our latest updates on Facebook. Butchered it, but we got there. Thanks very much for listening.
Happy Thanksgiving.
That's like Arteta's motto for the team. Butchered it, but we got there.
You've been listening to the Put 'Em Under Pressure podcast. To keep up to date with all of our content, give us a follow on Spotify, YouTube, and Facebook. Outro music. Boom.
That was good.
That was good, man.
Yeah.
You prepare and we go and we do our best. We put them under pressure.